We read from Luke's Gospel tonight a story that we all know very well, a story that we've heard or read perhaps 1,000 times before. And yet it's a story that's as wonderful 1,000th time as it was the very first. The story is of Mary and Joseph and of their journey to Bethlehem on that very first Christmas more than 2,000 years ago. We're told by Luke that they went to Bethlehem because a census was being taken throughout the Roman Empire, and everyone was to go to their hometown to be registered. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he went with Mary, his betrothed, to be registered in the city of David, called Bethlehem. And Luke tells us that Mary was pregnant at the time of this journey, and that shortly after they arrived in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth to their firstborn son. But Luke also tells us that there was a problem, because so many other people had journeyed to Bethlehem for the same reason that Joseph and Mary had journeyed there. When they arrived, Joseph was unable to find any accommodation. There was no room for them in the inn. And we're told that the only shelter that was available at all was in a poor, humble stable. And while I'm certain that it must have been very upsetting for Joseph to have been unable to locate a more suitable shelter, I'm sure as well that they would have been thankful to have found any place to escape the cool night winds, a place where they could lay down together and rest after a very long and tiring journey, a place where Mary could give birth to her baby. Tonight, we've come together once again to give thanks to God for that place and that time and for that birth. Christmas is our celebration of Christ's birth into the world, God's coming among us in Christ Jesus as a baby born in a humble stable because there was no room for him in the inn. And I think sometimes that one of the saddest realities about our Christmas celebrations is that we so often celebrate in the midst of so much secular and commercial frenzy. And that same Jesus for whom there was no room in the inn on the very first Christmas has, in a sense, been looking for room in our Christmases and in our lives ever since. We get so caught up in Christmas shopping and decorating and entertaining that we forget sometimes that Jesus is the reason for the season. And as Christians living in a secular world, it is our responsibility to make sure we make room in Christmas and in our lives for Jesus. We, of all people, must not lose sight of what this celebration is really all about. And just as tomorrow morning, when you'll need to be careful to not throw away any of the gifts when you cram all of that wrapping paper into trash bags or recycle bins, we must also be careful to not lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas in all that surrounds it. Christmas is a celebration of the most wonderful gift ever given, the gift of Jesus, wherein God gave to us God's own beloved Son, that through the light of his boundless love, we and all creation might be delivered from the powers of darkness and from the constraints of our own selfishness and fear. In Christmas, we celebrate that God Almighty came to us in Christ Jesus, being born and living and dying as one of us, in order that we might live forever in him, and that his love and his life might be made manifest in our living and in our loving. That's what Christmas is all about, and that's what we're here to celebrate tonight. And that's what we must help those around us to somehow see and to understand. I was reminded in a tweet the other day of a quote from the late Madeleine L'Engle, an American novelist who served for many years as the librarian at the Anglican Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. "There is nothing that is so secular," she wrote, "that it cannot also be made sacred." And that, she emphasized, is one of the deepest messages of the Incarnation. So I'm not suggesting we stop participating in the secular celebration of Christmas. I'm simply suggesting that we take every opportunity and make every effort to transform that celebration and to lift it up to God. that we include decorations on our trees that have Christian meaning and symbolism, that we send cards or e-greetings that express our Christian faith and hope, that we speak about Jesus at least as often as we talk about Santa Claus, that we spend some time tomorrow focusing our attention on the angel or on the star at the top of our tree and not just the presence beneath it. But above all, that we take some time on each of the 12 days of this Christmas season as individuals and as families to celebrate God's love by seeking to share that love in word and in deed with those around us. Because Christmas is not just chestnuts roasting on an open fire. It's not just Santa Claus is coming to town. And it's more than simply decking the halls with boughs of holly. And Christmas is also more than just the remembrance of a baby born in a stable some 2,000 years ago. We must also never forget that that same baby, for whom there was no room in the inn, also found no room in our world. The world rejected him, and he was brutally executed on the cross. And yet his terrible death somehow transformed this world that had rejected him. Because in death, Christ was not abandoned to the grave. He rose victorious from the dead, and he gave the promise of salvation and of eternal life to the whole world. Christmas is a time for the stories of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Christmas is a time for recalling the promises of God's good news and peace for the whole world. And Christmas is a time for praising God and for drawing closer to one another. Christmas is all of these things, and Christmas begins in here. Christmas begins in our hearts and in our souls, because Christmas happens when we open our hearts and allow ourselves to be touched by Christ, and when we give ourselves to Christ, and when we share his love with one another. It's my sincere hope this Christmas, as we gather around the Lord's table tonight, and as we then go forth from that table, that Christ will meet us here and nourish our souls, and that Christ will journey with us, and that he will find room in our inns, and that he will abide there with us this Christmas season and forever. 29 years ago, on the very first Christmas Eve that I celebrated as an ordained minister, in my own attempt to take something secular and to try and make it sacred, I wrote a little poem that I shared with my very first congregation on my very first Christmas Eve with them. And I've shared this poem with many congregations on many Christmas Eves ever since. So tonight I'd like to share it with you. And I call it, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," an alternative form. "'Twas the night before Christ's birth, and all through the land, all the people were restless, each woman and man. They had journeyed great distances, for the census they came, to the city of David, called Bethlehem. With no room in the inns, no place at the tables, Mary and Joseph sought shelter in a poor, humble stable, where she in her kerchief and he in his cap both settled down for a much-needed nap. In the midst of that night, there arose a soft clatter, and Joseph sprang from the straw to see what was the matter. He searched till he found a lamp which to light, and its brilliance cut through the dark of the night. And the light of the lamp revealed for his eyes his beloved Mary, who to his surprise had gone into labor, the excitement begun, and soon she gave birth to her firstborn son. Wrapped in his swaddling clothes, in a manger they laid their precious new gift, and to God they prayed, giving thanks to their Father for this baby boy, whose life filled their hearts and their whole world with joy. And somehow they knew it, and it filled them with fright, that God Almighty was with them that night. And the light from the lamp, which now hung from a beam, cast a shadow across them in its radiant stream. The shadow was formed where the timbers were crossed, and they all found themselves embraced by a cross. While outside that stable, on the windswept slopes, sat a group of poor shepherds who were sharing their hopes. For the times had been tough, but they refused to be glum, because the prophets had written that the Messiah would come. And as the star of that night with its magnificent glow gave a luster of midday to the city below, what to their wondering eyes should appear but an angel of God? And they were stricken with fear. He was dressed all in white from his head to the ground, and God's glory and splendor shone all around. "Fear not," he said, "I have good news for you, for you and God's people throughout the world too. In David's city below, in a stable forlorn, your Lord and your Savior, the Messiah, is born. In his swaddling clothes and a manger, the babe you will find, the Christ, the deliverer of all humankind." And then, in a twinkling, there appeared in the sky a multitude of angels, and this was their cry: "Glory be to God in heaven and on earth. God's peace and God's love have come with this birth." And the shepherds heard them exclaim as they vanished from sight, "God has blessed you this Christmas with the gift of his light." Amen.